Welcome to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew, Zach here in my office. I'm fighting a cold if it sounds a little bit different here. We have another CRC position statement, a word I struggle to pronounce.
Ecumenicity.
Ecumenicity, which is the practice of ecumenical. That's the word that I know.
Yeah.
Ecumenism.
Ecumenism, yes.
The idea, ecumenicity would be the practice of working together with Christians of all traditions, right?
Right. It's kind of church relations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Denominational relations.
So what does a CRC say about working sort of across denominations?
Yeah.
Let's find out. One paragraph at a time?
Yeah, let's do it.
The church is called to testify to what it already is, spiritually one in Christ, and to what it should become, visibly one in Christ. Church unity is therefore both a gift and a goal. The local church and the worldwide church are to be one body and are to strive for the unity that still eludes them. The church carries out its ecumenical task because the fragmentation of the body of Christ is contrary to his will. But uniformity is not essential for church unity. Various local, regional, and national churches will differ widely in history, tradition, custom, language, way of life, and mode of thinking. The unity of the church allows for diversity in worship, confessional formulas, and church order.
Yeah, so that's a good summarizing statement. Kind of acknowledges that there's a wide variety of Christians and a great deal of difference that's possible and
allowable
and yep. Even
we don't all have to look the same
to be celebrated, right?
Yeah.
Interestingly, I was looking at that. I was looking at the list that you just read, and you know, that's what's kind of telling about it. This is kind of what the CRC would say is allowable. Differences in history. Okay, we come from different places, right? Different tribes, different customs that goes along with that, different language, different way of life, and then mode of thinking. That's an interesting one. I wonder what was intended there.
Well, you have to allow, I mean, at some point you have to get beyond sort of ethnic stuff.
Sure.
Like
language, culture, yeah.
And get to some doctrinal stuff. And so I think mode of thinking is allowing for some different doctrines and saying, you know what, we don't agree here. We think a little bit differently about the Bible, but we still acknowledge we're part of the same family.
So how far does that thinking differently of the Bible can you go? Are we talking about different Christian worldviews, different conceptions of the church? That's where it gets a little fuzzy.
Well, I think you would say different modes of thinking about baptism.
Okay.
Different modes of thinking about the function of the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
Different modes of thinking about the law. There are people who think, you know, we've talked before about Luther and Calvin viewed the law differently, right?
Sure.
There's some allowable different ways we think about scriptural stuff.
So like when Paul talks in his letters about those second tier things, when he's talking about Christian liberty, freedom in Christ, drinking alcohol, eating meat, you know, that sort of thing. These are what we're talking about in terms of different conceptions of the faith, different modes of thinking.
Yeah.
We need to be generous in the way that we live out the teachings of the gospel.
And there's a framework that has to fall under still.
Mm-hmm.
It still has to be triune God. It still has to be salvation won by Christ's blood shed on the cross.
Sure.
Still has to be creator God and only one God. I mean, there's still some foundational stuff that has to be there for us to be part of the same family.
Yeah.
But there's a lot, I mean, I think that's why they include mode of thinking, because we are allowed to think a little bit differently about scripture's difficult sometimes.
Sure.
So that's a lot.
And that goes to that statement that comes right after it. The unity of the church allows for diversity in worship, obviously.
Yep.
There are much different ways of worshiping. But confessional formulas, I think, would kind of go hand in hand with modes of thinking.
Yeah, and that's a little bit worrisome, though, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, we have to acknowledge that there are denominations who are absolutely Christian believer people who have different creeds and confessions than us.
Different confessions, anyway, yeah.
Sure, yeah. But, boy, just saying, yeah, you can have different confessions is a little scary to me.
Because
there are a lot of bad ones.
Yeah, and there are a lot of, I mean...
There's a lot of bad theology out there.
A lot of emerging churches are very proudly non-confessional churches.
Yeah.
You know, we go to the Bible, we don't need a lens, we don't need a way to look at it. And so, yeah, that's, you know, that kind of loosens the reins maybe to a point where it gets uncomfortable. But, yeah, we can agree on that. But then the final thing is church order. Church order, again, church governance.
Different polity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the second one?
Sure. Second paragraph.
Second paragraph.
On the way to achieving unity, major differences in the perception of biblical truth need to be discussed and, if possible, resolved. God can be trusted to teach all who engage in ecumenical dialogue and thereby will unite us through a common understanding of his truth. In the search for unity, we may not compromise the biblical message and, at the same time, guard against the presumption of possessing the truth in all of its fullness. Churches ought to seek healing for past wounds by overcoming differences with those who are closest to them. The Christian Reformed Church in North America gives high priority to relations with other Reformed churches, but also wishes to engage churches of other traditions, such as non-Reformed Protestant churches, the Roman Catholic Church, and Orthodox churches. Revisions of the ecumenical charter of the CRC adopted by Synod 2006 and 2010 make provisions for these differing forms of relationships and reflect the present ecumenical stance of the CRC as part of the body of Christ worldwide.
Okay.
In other words, I think the major line, we may not compromise the biblical message, and at the same time, we guard against the presumption of possessing the truth in all of its fullness.
I think that's maybe the most beautifully stated
yeah.
line in the whole position statement.
Yeah.
So we discern biblical truth to the absolute best of our ability with the help of God's word and God's spirit. And
we
at the same time, we hold that with humility.
Yeah, we can't come at it. We can't come at these dialogues from the standpoint, I have to convert everyone else to the CRC mode of thinking. Right, we can't say we possess the true understanding of Scripture.
I see what you're saying.
That's
arrogant.
That's what Joseph Smith says, and that's what the Mormon religion is based on. All you other ones, all you other churches and denominations, you have split from the true understanding of Scripture.
Right.
Right. That's not how we enter these ecumenical dialogues.
Right.
We say, you know what? We have some modes of thinking, but of course we could be wrong.
Yeah, you know, that's something that we've struggled with historically
yeah.
in our denomination. And I think we're not the only ones. But there's a certain paradox with believing that you have a corner on the truth and holding that with humility. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's a balance that we all have to strike. And, you know, we need God's grace to do that.
I think it gets done well around our area at times. Our area youth workers group is an ecumenical bunch, and we get along great and support each other's ministries and send kids to different youth groups and discuss, you know, how's it going. I mean, we're a pretty close group. I've been asked to preach over at First Pres before, as have a couple of our elders right now. We have a strong relationship with them, mm-hmm. strong relationship with the OPC church. A couple of our elders have preached there as well. And so we do some of that work now. And I think that's great. It's not that it could be better.
Well, I also think in certain ways we fight with our closest brothers and sisters. You know, there's other areas where, you know, like a Christian Reformed person would criticize a Reformed person much more vigorously than a Christian Reformed person would criticize an Orthodox person. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not across the board.
True. Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of churches have divided because people are so closely in tune with each other that the very slightest differences get kind of magnified, yeah. and that's kind of a shame.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that happens. But if you want to picture the ecumenical position of the Christian Reformed Church, all you have to do is picture kind of concentric circles going out from a center point.
Yeah.
So the center point or the center circle would be, you know, the Christian Reformed Church and other Reformed churches, and then you bump out a concentric circle, would be Presbyterian churches. You bump out a circle, other strains of the Protestant Reformation. You bump out a circle. So, you know, looking at it like that, we want to be reaching across all of those boundaries or all of those differences, even to the point of outside of the Christian faith. And that's what that last line of the position statement talks about, even encouraging interfaith dialogue so that we can find ways to work better in society. That's more of a general revelation approach to just being in the world and living out our faith, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. One story about ecumenicity that I think is neat and worth sharing. This was really open-handed. It goes beyond sort of like... It's out a couple of concentric circles, if you will.
Sure.
So we think this is also a intro for our next podcast. We think differently about eschatology, about the book of Revelation, about the end times, than the EV Free Church does. Mm-hmm. When we put on a study that was named Reading Revelation from a Reformed Perspective, it had that in the name, and we sent it out to area churches to advertise, we got a very quick yes from the Evangelical Free Church and Pastor Highlander there, who I respect a lot and I've known for a long time. So even though they thought differently about a point of doctrine, they said, we want to advertise this because we trust you guys. And I think that's quite the show of ecumenicity.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I think that's what we should aim for, that dialogue between our traditions, with the understanding going into it that we're part of the same family. We disagree here and there, but we're part of the same family of God.
Right.
So that was very touching for me to get a very quick yes from them.
Sure.
And not to, well, we got to discuss it because we have this different standpoint and yada, yada.
If we, representing the church, expect people to get along with one another and disagree agreeably and find a way to have discussions in a way that both parties feel respected, then we have to do that on a corporate level as well. And that's a really good example of that.
Yeah. So that's a little teaser for next week. Listen in. We'll be talking a little bit eschatology, end times studies. We'll see you then.